What would you do if someone came up to you and said, the New Testament records that Jesus Christ broke the Sabbath, therefore, you don't have to keep the Sabbath? And they would turn right to John, the fifth chapter. So let's turn there and we'll read the verse. And we will see that Jesus Christ, sure enough, broke the Sabbath. Now let's turn there. We find that in John 5. And let's pick it up here in verse 18. And because of this, that is because he healed the man on the Sabbath, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, not only because he broke the Sabbath. Now, there it is right there, saying that Jesus broke the Sabbath. But he also called his God his Father, making himself equal to God. Now we're going to cover the aspect of Jesus breaking the Sabbath. We'll cover the aspect of Jesus making himself equal to God in another section when we get to John the 10th chapter, because that will take that. Now, if you have your interlinear, go ahead and take a look at that. If you have an interlinear, you can take a look at it, and you will see the word for break the Sabbath, and it's spelled E-L-U-E-N, Eluen, Eluen. Now that is a form of the verb luo, which is L-U-O-O, and that means to loose. It doesn't mean to break from the point of view of destroying, because the interpretation that is given on this, and I've seen articles on it, and I've read what people have written about it, that since Jesus broke the Sabbath, therefore Christians can follow his example, because are we not to follow his example and walk in his footsteps? So you see how the logic will come around. And if we break the Sabbath, then we're free to keep Sunday. And that's just about exactly the way that the argument goes. Well, what does this word luo mean in the Greek? And what does it mean to break the Sabbath in this particular case? The meaning of the Greek word luo means to loose, to set free, to unbind. And with certain other combinations of words, it can mean to destroy. And generally the word destroy is kataluo. Now, let's go to another use of the same word in the book of John, the same writer. Let's go to chapter 7. And verse 21, John 7 and verse 21. And this gives us a little better interpretation of the use of the word. Plus, it is also used in relationship to the law of Moses. John 7 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you marvel. Now, he's referring back to the healing that he did in the presence of all the Jews there in Jerusalem. And Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. And if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Now here, in this sense, loosing the law concerning circumcision, so they would do it on the Sabbath, loosing that law. Now, we need to, this is John 7, verse 21 to 23, okay? And this means to loose, or to make not binding. Now, by that you could infer that Jesus loosed the Sabbath to make the Sabbath not binding, because it's the same word luo. But what we have to do, we'll see in a little bit, is go back and analyze, what did Jesus really loose? Did he loose the Sabbath, or did he loose something that was a requirement on the Sabbath that the Jews had made? What did the Jews say in John 5? They said it was unlawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. Remember? And that was just to roll up the pallet. So what did he loose? Did he loose the Sabbath day to break it? Or did he loose that requirement of carrying your bed or your pallet on the Sabbath? So therefore, you were not breaking the Sabbath. All right, so we see here that it has to do with loosing and with, we'll see a little later, with binding. Now let's look at some other scriptures which have to do with broken. Completely different word, completely different Greek word used in each case. Let's go to Matthew 15 and verse 37. Here is to break or to have broken fragments, as it were. And the inference that is given by those who say that the Sabbath was broken by Jesus, they actually say that Christ abolished the Sabbath. In other words, he destroyed the Sabbath. Whereas the Greek did not mean that. The Greek meant that he loosed the Sabbath and, from the context, loosed the Sabbath from that requirement that the Jews had that you shall not carry a burden on the Sabbath. Of course, that's also out of the book of the law, too. Matthew 15 and verse 37. Well, let's go back to verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken pieces. Now, obviously, this means broken. The broken fragments or the pieces that was left, 7 baskets full. If you have an interlinear, you might turn there. This is Matthew 15 and verse 37. And you will observe that the word for broken is different in the Greek entirely, but this is a word that is used for broken in several places, and this is pronounced klesameton, which is broken pieces or fragments, the remainder of what has been left over from that which is being broken. Okay, let's see another case of this in Matthew 21 and verse 44. Matthew 21 and verse 44. This is another word, another Greek word, which is different, but it means to be broken into pieces. Verse 44. And he who falls on this stone shall be broken. Now, the reason that we're examining these different words is to show very clearly that Jesus did not abolish the Sabbath day. He did some loosing on the Sabbath day. Did I say Matthew 21, verse 44, or did I say 22? Matthew 21 and verse 44. Okay. Now let's just turn a couple pages to Matthew 24 and verse 43. Matthew 24 and verse 43. He says in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not in what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house or the good man of the house would have known in what hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken through." Now, if you see in your interlinear, the word is to dig through, and that is to destroy by removing then. Now let's go back to the book of John. John 19 and verse 31. Now here's a good example of how you can do a word study yourself to find out the various meanings of the word, because sometimes it gets down to one little word that a whole new doctrine is going to be made concerning the keeping of the commandments or not to keep the commandments or whatever it may be. John 19 and verse 31. Now, this becomes important because this shows some physical action that is going to be taken. And here the Greek word again is completely different. This is when Jesus was on the cross. Now, verse 31, "The Jews, therefore, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, because it was the preparation, for that day was a high day or a great Sabbath, they requested of Pilate that their legs might be broken. Now, if you follow along with your interlinear, you will see that that Greek word, the first part of the word is K-A-T-E, which is the kata, which is to destroy, or that is to break. Now, there's a vast difference between loosing something, which is translated the word broken in John 5 and verse 19, where Jesus loosed something on the Sabbath. That's a vast difference from the action of breaking someone's legs. When you break someone's legs, you destroy. So the word is, there means to break, irreparable. The same way with the other one where you had the broken fragments. They were broken. Those were fragments. So we're getting a good understanding of the use of the word. Now let's turn to chapter... Let's turn to chapter... 21 and verse 11. John 21 and verse 11. Here's another word which in the King James is translated broken. And this is the incident where Peter drew in the net, verse 11, drew the net into the land, and it was full of large fishes, about 153, so many that there... and yet the net was not broken. Now this word means to tear or to rent. So here it's talking about something that was not broken. You have this huge net full of fish and it was straining and yet it didn't rip and yet it didn't tear. So this gives us a good sense of the meaning that if Jesus abolished the Sabbath or annulled the Sabbath, or broke the Sabbath, or that is, by not keeping the Sabbath, destroyed the meaning of the Sabbath. And that's a general sense that people like to convey with that. So that means that in examining this, that Jesus did not do that. He did not destroy the Sabbath. He did not abolish the Sabbath. Let's look at a couple of words which are used for destroy. Now, there are several other places where it is, where it was broken. Let's just take one other look at it. Let's go to Revelation 2 and verse 27. Revelation 2 and verse 27. And this, again, as you know, is written by the Apostle John. Here in verse 27 it says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers." And that means that he will break them. You can see that the Greek word there is completely different than any of the others. And this shows a kind of action to destroy. So if Jesus, in fact, did break the Sabbath so that it is no longer binding, then he would have had to have what? Destroyed the Sabbath through that. He did not destroy the Sabbath. He loosed the Sabbath. We'll look at some other words on that in just a minute. Now let's go to Matthew 12 and verse 14. Let's look at a word which is used to destroy, since sometimes the word luo in combination with other prefixes can be used to mean to destroy. John 12 and verse 14. John 12 and verse 14. "But the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Now here we find, if you look at in your interlinear, you find right in the middle of the word, L-E-S, which is showing that the L-E is the root of the word. And this is pronounced apolesosin. Now, I'm only saying that so you can catch the L-E in there, which is part of luo. But notice that it is a completely different rendition or version of the word. And here it was to destroy Jesus. So if Jesus wanted to destroy the Sabbath, and John wanted to convey the fact that he was destroying the Sabbath, this would have been the perfect word for him to use. Then it would be abundantly clear the Sabbath would no longer be required or binding. Now let's look at one other. Let's go to Acts 6 and verse 14. Acts 6 and verse 14. And here's a controversy when Stephen was accused of having taught against the rituals of the temple. So this is a very interesting section that we can find the word used again. Acts 6 and verse 14. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place. Now, if you look in your interlinear, you can see very clearly to destroy is kataluse, K-A-T-A-L-U-S-E-I, kataluse, and that means to destroy. So when, and this is a very clever argument that is used by people who use this verse to show that the Sabbath has been destroyed, they take part of a word which means to loose, and rather than going through and explaining the other areas where what it means to destroy or what it means to do away with or what it means to annul, and people just march right along and say, oh yes, that's the way it is. Now, let's go to Matthew 16 and verse 19. And let's look at what is called in the Bible binding and loosing. And this is what we are talking about in relationship to what Jesus did. Matthew 16 and verse 19, where Jesus said, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose. Now you can look in your interlinear, and the word loose is luo. The spelling's just a little different, but it is to luo. Now, is Jesus saying here in this sense, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you destroy on earth will be destroyed in heaven? No, he's not saying that. Whatsoever is loosed, and the Greek there means whatsoever has been loosed. It refers back to what God is loosing, because we'll see here in just a minute concerning the Scriptures, that the Scriptures cannot be broken in the sense that the Word of God is going to be of no effect. So, whatsoever you may loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this is what it's talking about. This is what it's talking about. This is in the case of judgment of a small matter, not doing away with God's laws altogether. And it was a judgment in a small matter when a man was healed, where he was told to pick up his bed and to carry it. That was loosing a very small matter. I mean, after all, the man was healed. And after all, the man was told by Christ to pick it up and carry it. So as we saw last time, as the Lord of the Sabbath, he can tell the man to pick it up and carry it on the Sabbath. And he loosed that law, which was one of the traditions of the Jews, that you shall not carry a burden on the Sabbath. Now, obviously, when the Bible is talking about you shall not carry a burden on the Sabbath, that is talking about a heavy burden. What if you had a bedroll? Let's just look at it this way. What if you had a bedroll that weighed, say, 9 pounds altogether? And it was against the law to carry the bed on the Sabbath, and it weighed 9 pounds. I want to ask you a question, and all you mothers will immediately realize this. What do you do when you have to carry a 15-pound child around because they're not big enough to walk? And we've done that many times. Dolores has done that many times on the Sabbath, and carry the baby around. Now, therefore, mothers are breaking the Sabbath when they are carrying their children according to the Jews. And would that be a fair assumption to draw? Sure. What if you had twins? Now what do? You're carrying 30 pounds. You better not even walk out of the house on the Sabbath. So what Jesus did was loose that law which said, you shall not carry a burden on the Sabbath in relationship to the pallet that the man was carrying. Not in relationship to doing away with the Sabbath. Now we have the same thing here concerning binding and loosing. And the question comes up, how far can you drive on the Sabbath and not break the Sabbath? Well, that's a matter of a judgment that we have to make in that particular sense. And whatever then becomes the matter of what is the least amount of effort for the most amount of people. And of course, we've been transferring back and forth here, so we relieve the burden on one week and have a little more on the other week. So as a minister, I try and carry most of the burden of most of the traveling so that it will not put a burden upon the brethren. And I suppose I can do that. You know, what did Jesus say? The priests labor on the Sabbath, and it's not counted to them as an unlawful thing. So that would be an example of binding and loosing. Now let's go to John 10, John 10 and verse 35. John 10 and verse 35. And here we have another example, especially referring to what Jesus said. John 10 and verse 35. And I just imagine that those same people who would like to enforce one part of God's word would certainly turn to this section, John 10 and verse 35. Let's just drop back to verse 30 and we'll get the story flow here. Where Jesus said, John 10 now in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now you see, that isn't that in the law of Moses that you take stones and stone a sinner? Okay, so they took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I've shown you of my Father, for which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. You know, the Jews knew who Jesus was. And we'll cover that a little later when we come to the eighth chapter, when Jesus has some pretty strong things to say about them. So Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods. Now if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be loosed. You can't loose the scriptures from what it says. Now, God, when we come down and analyze the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, God did not change anything in principle. He only changed the means on how to do it. We don't offer animal sacrifices today because why? We have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Is not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ superior to the sacrifice of animals? Yes, it is. We do not have requirement of circumcision for salvation. But there is a circumcision required for salvation, which is the circumcision of the heart. Is that not a greater than circumcision in the flesh? Yes, it is. Do we have any form of temple worship now? No, all of those laws concerning the temple worship have been replaced with what kind of worship did we see in chapter 4? Those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So when you lay the Old Covenant and New Covenant side by side, you see that God has not destroyed anything, but he has improved upon it in the New Testament or the New Covenant. We come to the temple and the throne of God in heaven above. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We are concerned with the attitude in heart and mind, not the letter of the law. Because the letter of the law is sooner or later going to what? It's going to kill. And God is interested in grace and mercy. Now let's just turn the page to John, the 11th chapter, and let's see clearly what the word luo in the case of loosing something means. Now, I just might draw to your reference here. Go back and read those sections which have to do with loosing the colt for Jesus to ride on. Remember where Jesus said, you go into the town and you will see a colt tied there. You loose him and bring him to me. The word there is luo. Now, did the disciples do exactly what he said? Yes, they went in there. They untied him, brought it back to Jesus. He got on it and rode on in on that that day when they put the palm branches down and said Hosanna to God in the highest. They didn't destroy the colt, did they? They didn't walk up there and say, ah, this is the one, hack, 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 and leave it in a heap on the ground. Of course not. Okay, let's go to John 11 and verse 44. This is the case where Lazarus was buried. Now, if you know anything about the burial of the Jewish custom, what did they do? They would wrap him. They wrapped Lazarus because he was dead. They wrapped him in the grave clothes. Okay? So verse 44, after Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth bound. Now you can look this up. This is the same word that is to bind that we find in Matthew 16 that we just covered. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him. Obviously, they didn't destroy him. They loosed him. What? They untied the burden. They untied the burden of those grave clothes, didn't they? Loose him that he may and let him go. Now, let's go to Mark, the 7th chapter, and let's see what Jesus was loosing. This will all tie together with where it was said that Jesus broke the Sabbath. Mark, the 7th chapter. And let's begin in verse 1. And you know, an awful lot, if you go through and read this, an awful lot of the ministry of Jesus Christ was a confrontation with the Jews. He really had some tough things going for him. Okay, Mark 7 and verse 1. They then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now here is a critical physical thing. Very small, though, isn't it? And the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding to the tradition of the elders. Now, this is going to give us an idea as to what Jesus was loosing. And except they come from the market, and when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, many other. Here's just a summary. Many, many, many other things that there be which they have received to hold. Not to hold means to observe, to do, to follow, to bind upon one another. As the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. And then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? So we're talking about what? The traditions of the elders. We're talking about what is lawful in relationship to what the Jews would say would be lawful. We're talking about in Matthew or John 5th chapter what is unlawful in relationship to what the Jews had said was unlawful. So he answered and said to them, verse 6, well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do. So he said, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. So this is what he was loosing. He was loosing them from a traditional teaching, you shall not carry your bed on the Sabbath. Now, why don't you, if you want to, just have a study anywhere in the Old Testament and find out where it says it's unlawful for you to carry a bed on the Sabbath. You won't find it. You won't find any place where it says it's unlawful to carry your bed on the Sabbath. So what it was he loosing? He was loosing one of the traditional teachings of the Jews. Now let's go to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and let's look at another law that God loosed by example and revelation. Now this is the account of where God was calling Cornelius and how he sent Peter over to Cornelius' house. Peter didn't know whether he should go or not, but he went. And when he got there, we find in verse 25 of Acts the 10th chapter, verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him and said, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that had come together. And he said to them, now notice, key thing, verse 28, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. Now, you can't find that anywhere in the Old Testament. Yet he said how it is an unlawful thing for one who is a Jew. So we are talking about the religion of the Jews or Judaism. Now Judaism in the main is one of those religions that have been polluted with Babylonianism, which we'll see at a later time. And all of the things that they added. This was not a law of God. What did God say concerning the stranger? He, you shall have one law for you and the stranger. So this was a law of Judaism. And so what was God doing? But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So God had to reveal that this tradition of the Jews of not associating with Gentiles was not binding by God. Now let's go over to the next chapter, chapter 11. Chapter 11. And we find... just a second, let me find the right verse here. Okay, right there at the first of the chapter, verse 1 and 2. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you, now these were supposed to be converted people, right? Okay, saying, you went into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. So here it was creating a problem in the church. And of course, we know that the church had many problems. We won't get into those at this particular time. But this gives us the basis in the Bible what Jesus was actually doing. He was loosing the Sabbath day of one of the laws of the Jews, which said, you shall not carry your bed on the Sabbath. Now let's go back to chapter 5 of the book of John, and let's just rehearse that, or review it rather, and then we'll go on from there. John 5. Yes, John 5 and verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up your bed and walk. And they said to him, What man is it that said unto you, Take up your bed and walk? Because, you see, they were all of agreement that that was one of the laws of Judaism that had to be kept. So this really helps clarify that section where it says in verse 18, when the Jews said that he had broken the Sabbath day. So it's very obvious that he didn't break the Sabbath day, that he did not destroy the Sabbath day, but he loosed the Sabbath day from the burden of Jewish tradition. Okay, now let's continue on here in the book of John, the 5th chapter, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, these also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now we start getting into a very important section in the book of John. And this has to do with the judgment and the resurrection. And I remember the time I was on KABC in Los Angeles when they had religion on the line. I was on there 3 weeks in a row, and there was three or four weeks in a row. But anyway, that was very interesting. I think it was 4 weeks in a row on Sunday at from 10 to midnight. And there was a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi and me. Now, the way I got on there was one of the members in Torrance called up and said, well, why don't you have this fellow on the air just to answer Bible questions. And I never will forget this one call. This Jewish woman called in, and of course there are quite a few Jews down in L.A. And she called in, and her 19-year-old nephew had been killed in an auto accident. And she was talking to Rabbi Franklin. I'll never forget that. That was his name, Rabbi Franklin. And she was crying and moaning, which rightly she should, according to the way the Jews believe, that why did God take my 19-year-old nephew? He was not at fault in this car wreck and everything is lost. And he had studied to be a doctor and now his life is gone forever. And so the rabbi was saying, well, we have to take the evil with the good and so forth. And the whole upshot of it was that there was absolutely no hope involved. And I remember that when he got done, I said, well, could I talk to her for just a minute? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I would like to point out to you in your own scriptures in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, which has to do, you know, with the second resurrection. So I went through and explained the whole thing to her, and that gave her some hope. And she had to believe it because it was in the Bible that the Jews accept as their Bible. And when I got all done saying that, yes, he is going to be resurrected. Yes, God is going to raise him. Yes, he's going to have a chance to live. And she really got quite excited about that. And then she said over the radio, Rabbi Franklin, is that right?
Do you have that on tape?
No, I don't. No, I don't know if it could be on. I don't know if someone has that on tape. Let's see, I did that when? I did that. That must have been back in 1972 or 1973. But he had to admit, yes, that was true, because he opened up his Bible and was going along with it there. Well, this section in John, the 5th chapter, has an awful lot to do with what God is going to do with all the people who have died. And we've seen recently how very easy it is to just take parts of a body And with certain things, you can produce life in the DNA. So it is no great mystery that God is going to resurrect people. Now let's continue on here. Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens. Now the word quickens here means to give life to quicken by giving life, and quickens them. Even so the Son quickens, or that is, gives life to whomsoever he will.